Answer fast, penetrating, and perfect truth. They seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad couples. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha truth, one with myself.
Shri Buddha, Shri Dharma, Shri Sangha. Today we celebrate the festival of Great Master Bodhidharma. Coincidentally, tomorrow I begin my 40th year of training as a follower of the Buddha and disciple of Rev. Master Jiyu. There's a famous koan question in Zen. Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? I want to talk this morning about the meaning of this question and about some of the answers implied by that meaning. The West, of course, was India, and Bodhidharma was a monk from India who came to China. I don't know whether he just showed up or whether he was invited. He went by, according to tradition, he went the southern route by sea to South China. There he met the Emperor of China and had a famous exchange with the Emperor. And then, as the saying goes, he went to sit facing the wall in Shorinji Temple for 9 years. True disciple showed up. And all the Zen traditions trace their lineage back to Bodhidharma. Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? Bodhidharma is not around to ask him anymore. It seems to me that a lot of people have been speculating for centuries, but they couldn't actually get down and ask him. So this is one more speculation. But I think it's a speculation with the benefit of some experience. To put it very simply, I believe Bodhidharma came from the West because his heart, his true nature, prompted him to do so and called him to do so. And that this was therefore a profound expression of that following of the heart, of that listening to one's the promptings of one's heart, of paying attention to the signals, often very, very quiet signals given by one's heart. This was by no means a safe thing to do. It still isn't. Traveling is dangerous. In those days, traveling was very dangerous. Many people who undertook such a journey did not survive it. Many people never reached their destination. When Dogen traveled to China with his friend and teacher Myozen, Dogen's health was seriously affected for the rest of his life, and Myozen died, and this was in a trip whose duration was, total duration, was just a few years. It was much, much closer than India is to China. What conceivable selfish gain is there for a Buddhist monk to travel such a great distance at such risk? I believe that in some way, maybe there was an invitation sent. Maybe Bodhidharma met travelers from China. Who gave some indication of the state of Buddhism and the state of life in China. But however the signal came to him, I believe he responded with great willingness, great faith, and great courage to a prompting of the heart. And that in the many centuries since that time, there have been millions of beneficiaries of this listening, this willingness, this following. The Eternal never forces us to do anything. We're offered the opportunity. We're called and we are not forced. Most of us would prefer safety over risk, security over hazard. And yet sometimes there is that call that in the end we don't want to ignore. And why would we so not want to ignore it? One can think of this in many ways. Mostly, I think of it in terms of love. For me, the eternal is the great love of my life. One scripture says, when minute infinitely small becomes, when large it transcends all dimension space. In the midst of times of confusion, the eternal can seem to vanish. When there is spiritual insight, deep stillness, it transcends all dimension, all space. It is everything. It is everything. And not to be true to it, not to live in a way that is in harmony with it, not to turn towards it, not to open one's heart to it, not to listen to it, not to follow it, is seen clearly to be a kind of living death. The meaning of renunciation of the world is that there is no love that compares with it. The meaning of having compassion for all living things is that when our heart is open to it, its love, which is infinite, flows through us. Its compassion flows through us. And we willingly share the life of all sentient beings as one sentient being among many. And we willingly and gladly make offerings, whether those offerings are received with gratitude or whether they are spurned. It is as true to say that Bodhidharma traveled to China out of love for the eternal as it is to say that Bodhidharma traveled to China out of compassion for all living things. And it is as true to say that Bodhidharma traveled to China out of compassion for all living things as it is to say that Bodhidharma traveled to China out of love for the eternal. And that compassion for all living things does not belong to Bodhidharma, nor to Dogen, nor to Shakyamuni Buddha, nor to Maka Kasho, nor to Rev. Master Jiyu, nor to any of us sitting here in this meditation hall, nor to anyone who follows. It does not belong to us. It cannot be made part of our personality. It cannot be made into a virtue that we achieve. It is greater, infinitely greater than ourselves. We are not Kanzeon. We can only train ourselves so that a little bit of Kanzeon can show itself in our lives. that which drew Bodhidharma to China was the same thing as that which drew Bodhidharma to his master when he first began training. To follow the eternal is not just a matter of many years of practice and experience and deep enlightenment. To follow the eternal is enlightenment manifesting here and now in any being who does it even for a moment. There is not a greater enlightenment in going to China than there is in coming to one's master, perhaps in one's teens or twenties. It's just that the more we train, the more we naturally are in harmony with our true nature. And the more we do the following without even most of the time knowing we're doing it. We just live an ordinary daily life that is the life of Buddha because it is a life that embodies the living spirit of the precepts. In my mind, the month of September is always the first month of the spiritual year. We're at the beginning now of our spiritual year. In the monastery, we're at the beginning of our 90 to 100 day training term. It culminates in our monastic retreat and in the festival of the Buddha's enlightenment in December. This is a time when the spiritual juices flow and when we can renew ourselves and renew our willingness through more meditation. Let us make good use of the days, the weeks, and the months to come in this precious following.